Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on advertising when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft, and someone who knew neither the press nor Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. Well, John Swinton outraged his colleagues by replying that there's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. You know that, and I know it. And there's not one of you, he said, who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you knew beforehand that it would never appear in print. And I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things. And any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. Now, if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. Now, you know that, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes, and we are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings, and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Quite a statement. Now, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program and this New World Order. They're the men and families like the Windsors and Rockefellers and Bushes and Bundys and Carnegies and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend that it's time that we wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000 and Bible prophecy, along with this New World Order, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package? That's a 4-hour compact disc, and it's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free. And you can call right now to order yours. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. Advertising. You know, we're bombarded with advertising. Advertising's everywhere. You're driving down the highway and there are billboards. You open your newspaper and then you're reading a story. And then they shift you from page 1, that doesn't have any advertising, to page 16 to complete the story. And on page 16, there are several advertisements. And these advertisements are designed to catch your eye so that you will read about Hank's Fine Furniture. And you see the Lazy Boy recliner and you say, oh my God, I'd like to have that Lazy Boy recliner. Or you're listening to the news and Katie Couric says, well, we'll be back right after this. And so now they bombard you with 3 ads of about a minute each. And they tell you all about Tempur or Vioxx or some other latest designer drug that's going to make you happy. And everybody that's taking these drugs are smiling. Well, it's always been my experience. People that are on cocaine, heroin, marijuana. They're all happy and they're having a great party, you know, and so drugs, I guess, are a lot of fun. Advertising is everywhere. It's in all of the media. And in fact, you can't watch television or listen to the radio without listening to the advertising, because the advertising is what pays for the music that you hear on the radio or the program that you're watching on television. Even PBS now is advertising. Have you noticed that? Yeah, that's right. The companies that sponsor the programs, they have their little ads that go in there, you know, like Honda or General Motors or Ford or whoever it is, you know, that's sponsoring this program, you know, they've got to have their little ad in there. And maybe that's the price we pay for television and media. I mean, after all, we Americans are used to it. I can't speak for the rest of the people around the world, but we're just bombarded here in this country with advertising. And advertising is based upon the five base senses of human nature. And advertising is a system of controlled, deliberate lies. That's right. The advertisers are lying to you. But they don't lie to you all of the time. See, some of the time they tell you the truth. And that's what's deceptive. Now, human beings are motivated by these five motivators. And everybody that's been to sales school learned, coming right out of the chute, that what we're appealing to in people in order to sell them the goods and services that they don't want, can't use, don't need, and shouldn't have to be predicated upon vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. If I'm going to sell you something, I have to first arouse in you your vanity, your jealousy, your lust, your greed, or your fear in order to sell you what I want to sell you. Politicians on the Republican side are using fear in this election season. They're telling you that if you don't elect Republicans, the Democrats, who are soft on the war, soft on crime, are going to take over the Congress, and God help us all when the terrorists get after us with the Democrats in charge. Okay, now they're appealing to your fear. Now, the Democrats, they've got a strategy too, and they're appealing to our jealousy. And they're pointing to all of the Republican scandals, and they're saying to you, look at these scandals. Look at these people who are taking all of this money, taking all of these bribes like Jack Abramoff. Doesn't that just burn you up that your tax dollars are going to these scumbags? Of course it does. I'm very upset about the graft and corruption that's going on, aren't you? Everybody is. Normal people are. I mean, some people aren't. Republicans aren't. But Democrats and other people, you know, they're kind of concerned about that. And so we take a look from whatever our perspective in life is, and there's something we want to achieve. And the Republicans want to achieve victory in the November elections, and the Democrats want to achieve victory in the November elections. And so they have to devise a strategy. After all, what they're doing is selling you on their ideas and philosophies. They're trying to get you to buy one side or the other. They're trying to get you to buy their philosophies. And so Republicans, they sit on one side and they say, well, if you elect those Democrats, you'll get gun control. And the Democrats are saying, okay, we're going to give you gun control, but if you elect those Republicans, you're going to continue with this war in Iraq. So you're left with these two choices. I mean, you know, you can have the war in Iraq or you can have your guns taken away from you. Now, we can't have our guns without war in Iraq. That's what we're being told by both sides. You can't keep your guns and disengage from the war in Iraq. You have to choose between those two alternatives. If you want to keep your guns, it's continued war. If you want to continue the war, if you want to terminate the war, then you have to give up your guns. And so we have been left in this country, in the political sphere at least, with this constant choice between two alternatives, both of which we don't want to buy. We don't want to buy either of those alternatives, but that's what we're left with. And that's what you're left with here in this election. Now, it's not just in elections. It has to do with the consumer goods that we buy also. For instance, you want to buy an automobile, and I remember this ad from the Mercury people years ago, and it was a pretty funny ad. This lady, this slinky, foxy chick, not just a lady, I mean this woman here, is something, you know, right out of the Garden of Eden. I mean, this is Eve herself, and she's laying on top of this Mercury Montego, see? And she's got her head propped up on, she's laying on her side, and she's got her leg, or her head, rather, propped up in her hand. And her hair is blowing straight back. I mean, she must be driving down the road at 110 miles an hour, because this woman's hair is just blowing straight back. And then they go on to tell you about this beautiful Mercury Montego and all the great advantages that it has, and how much better this car is than everybody else's car. And I'm sitting here, you know, in my living room, and I'm watching this, and I thought to myself, now when was the last time I was driving down the freeway, and I passed a car with a woman laying on top of it at 80 miles an hour with one hand up here in her head, laying in her hand, driving down the road. And I thought to myself, well, I've never seen anything like that. And I think that's what caught my eye, because, you know, when you're watching television and you see this car driving 80 miles an hour down the freeway with this woman sitting on the roof, makes you wonder, well, what's holding her onto the roof? Is she glued on there, you know, with a Sellotex or something? Is there something that's holding her on there? Because if I was up on top of that roof at 80 miles an hour, I'd just blow off, you know, like a newspaper. But this woman, she's firmly attached to the roof of this car. And so from that point on, you know, every time I drive down the freeway, I look at every car going by, waiting to find the car that's got that woman on top, you know. Now, the reality of it is, I had to ask myself, now, what was the motivation of the Fifth Avenue or the Madison Avenue or whoever it was that put that ad together? And the answer is sex. They're not selling cars, they're selling sex. And there's a subliminal message that goes with that ad. It's a deceptive subliminal message that says if you buy a Mercury Montego, you get this foxy chick that goes along with it. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you went down and you bought that car, you're not going to get that foxy chick. And I'm not really sure that if you were driving that car, all the foxy chicks are going to come flocking out of the drugstore, you know, to say, oh, Buster, please give me a ride in your new Mercury Montego. I haven't seen any of that going on, and I kind of doubt that that's going to be the ultimate outcome of it. But then this subliminal message was explained by Vance Packard back in 1958, and it was in a book that he wrote. I'll think of the name of it here in a second. It slips my mind right now, but Vance Packard, I remember, was the guy's name. Oh, the book was called The Hidden Persuaders. That's what it was, The Hidden Persuaders. And he was an advertising guy, and he's explaining to us in his book the inside of advertising and how deceptive it was, how it is a system of controlled lies, and how we're all infected or affected by this advertising that we see every day that we're bombarded with. Now, we like to think of ourselves as being immune from advertising. You know, we watch it so often that we say to ourselves, well, that doesn't affect me. I don't buy automobiles based upon the advertising. Well, the bottom line truth of the matter is, yeah, you do. You do, because your belief system, what you believe, the way you view the world, the way you view automobiles and women and everything around you is conveyed to your mind by your five senses. The only way that anything can get into your brain is through one of your five senses. It could be one or more of your five senses. You have to see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, smell it. You know, you've got to feel this, or you've got to see this, or you've got to hear this, you've got to taste this, in order for you to know, and your brain to record the sensation, so that you can recall it later. Now, when you're watching advertising, there's information going into your brain, and this information, some of it's true. All advertising contains truth. And then the advertising may contain some error, may contain some falsehoods. It could be that the ad, the information, what it is that you're viewing, what it is that you're experiencing or tasting or touching, is the truth. And so this leads us to another watershed in our discussion of advertising, and that is that in order for you to be deceived, you had to have been told the truth, because only with the truth can you be deceived. Now, I know that's kind of a wild statement, but let's analyze it a little bit and see if that does make some sense. If I lied to you all the time, I mean, everything that I have ever said to you has been a lie, and you would always know the truth. And that's because every time I open my mouth and tell you something, you would automatically say, well, that's Gordon speaking, and he's a pathological liar, and he never tells the truth. So therefore, whatever he's telling me, I know is false. So therefore, I will do the exact opposite, and therefore I will know the truth. And that would be pretty close to accurate. Now, if on the other hand, I always told you the truth, before long you would come to the conclusion, well, that's George Gordon speaking, and he always speaks the truth. And based upon all of my experience with him over a long period of time, everything he says to me is exactly true, accurate, and correct. And therefore, if he says it, I know it's true, I can believe it, and therefore I know the truth. So if I always lie to you, you'll always know the truth. And if I always tell you the truth, you'll always know the truth. So how am I going to deceive you? So in order for me to deceive you, I have to tell you the truth and mix it with a lie so that I can deceive you. And that's the essence of advertising. We tell you the truth. You know, when Satan was in the Garden of Eden and he deceived Mother Eve, you remember that story? You know, here's Eve, and she's in the garden, you know, doing dishes or whatever it is that ladies do in Gardens of Eden. And Satan came up in the form of the serpent, the snake, you know, and he said, hey, what you doing there? And she said, oh, I'm washing the breakfast dishes. And so he said, well, listen, you see that tree over there? Yeah, I see that tree over there. He said, listen, hasn't God told you that tree, if you eat off of it, you're going to die? And Eve said, yep. You know, she said, yeah, that's true. He did tell us that. And Satan made this statement. He said, well, now God knows that in the day that you eat off of that tree, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to get real smart. In effect, God, in this case, is a liar. And Satan came along as the truth teller. He's the advertising man, and he's advertising something. She'd never heard this product before. This is something brand new. She never saw this product advertised in the morning paper. And so she thought about that for a minute, and she said, well, yeah, that's right. He did tell us that in the day that we eat off that tree, we're going to die. And so here's the salesman comes along and says, well, but that's not true. That's a lie. God is lying to you. And in the day that you eat off of that tree, your eyes are going to be opened and you will not die. Eve thought about the product, and she looked at it and she said, well, it's pretty desirable. Like the Mercury Montego, it's a very desirable automobile. And especially that foxy chick riding on the roof. So she went over and she picked a piece and she ate it. And she didn't die. She did not die. And her eyes were open. She got real smart. And she said, you know, that salesman told me the truth, and God lied to me. The salesman told me the truth, and God lied to me. And so she said, hey, Adam, come on over here. I got something for you. And so she said, now listen, I'm real smart, and you're real dumb, and I just ate off this tree, and that's why I'm so smart. And God's been lying to us all this time. And so here, you take this and eat this, and you're going to get real smart just like I am. And so he ate it. And they looked at each other, and they said, my God, we're naked. Now, they didn't know they were naked, you know, until until they ate off the tree. And then they could look at each other and they say, oh my God, we're naked, so we need clothes. Now, it is true. Satan told them that they were going to get real smart, and they did. That was the truth. And Satan said, you will not surely die, and they did not die. God comes tripping into the garden about 8 o'clock that evening. He says, hey, Adam, where are you? Adam is hiding, you know. And he says, hey, Adam, where are you hiding? And so Adam comes out, and God says, well, what's those fig leaves that you're wearing there? And Adam said, well, you know, we're naked. And God said, well, who told you that? And Adam said, well, there was a salesman came by, and he was selling Mercury Montegos, and in this case, he was selling fruit off of the forbidden tree, and so we went ahead and bought some, and we ate it, and sure enough, we're just real smart and found out that you've been lying to us, and because you're a liar, you know, we've lost faith in you now. You see, you told us that we would surely die in the day that we ate off that tree, and we ate off the tree and we didn't die, and so therefore now we know that you're a liar. And God got really ticked off about that. I mean, he just went ballistic on them. And he evicted them from the garden. Threw them out. And Adam and Eve, they lost their cushy jobs and they lost their house. You know, it was foreclosed on and they went through bankruptcy and lost everything they had. And then 930 years later, Adam died. Adam died. And so here's the bottom line to the story. The statement that the salesman made could be taken in two ways. When the salesman said, you will not surely die, he meant you will not die on the day, June 13th, year 4, that you eat the fruit. But he did not go on to say, but you will die 930 years from now. He withheld certain vital information that he may or may not have had. You know, salesmen oftentimes will sell you a product, and they, honest to God, believe that what they're telling you is the truth. But they're really lying to you, or if they're not lying to you, and this is called an actual fraud. When somebody is lying to you and they know they're lying to you, that's called an actual fraud. Whereas if the guy lies to you, but he, honest to God, believes every word that he's telling you, but what he's telling you is a lie. That's called a constructive fraud. Constructive fraud. It's just as damaging. You know, it's what isn't said that oftentimes is more eloquent than what is said. But in this case, in this case, Satan told Adam and Eve the truth. Told them the truth. Now, did God lie to them? See, that's the other side of the coin. Because from God's point of view, he said, in the day that you eat off of that tree, June 13th, year 4, you will surely die. But he didn't mean you were going to die on June 13th, year 4. He said, you're going to die at some point in time in the future. You're going to die, and 930 years later, Adam died. And you can test that today. Are Adam and Eve alive today? And if so, where are they? Adam and Eve, are they alive today? God told them the truth. He said, in the day that you eat off that tree, you will surely die. Eventually, you're going to die. And they did. They died. They're not here. They're gone. The record says that they died. And I haven't seen them coming around, you know, on 60 Minutes and waving broadly and saying, well, now God lied to us and we're still here. Now, that's the essence of advertising. Advertising is a controlled lie. It isn't some blatant out and out, we're just going to tell you this falsehood over here about Bigfoot marauding around in the mountains of Northern California. Just an out and out, you know, piece of trash. No, we're going to be real sophisticated about this. We're going to deceive you. We're going to tell you the truth and mix it with error. Now, there can be various mixings of this error with the truth. You know, you never know how much error and how much truth there is to it. But there's whether it's 75% truth and 25% error. Now, just take this story. George Washington, our second president of the United States, threw a silver dollar across the Potomac River after he chopped down a cherry tree. Now, I think most of us, you know, most of us, not all, if you've been to public school, you may believe some of that, but I think most of us have had it explained to us that George Washington was the first president, not the second, and that George Washington never chopped down a cherry tree. That was a myth, and that he never threw a silver dollar across the Potomac River. And at least not as a boy, because, you see, they didn't have silver dollars. They might have had pieces of eight or something else, but there weren't any silver dollars when George Washington was a boy. They didn't come around making silver dollars until 1794, you know. And so the bottom line is that all of that statement is false. The whole thing is false, and most people would recognize that as being a falsehood, and they just kind of smile and say, well, you know, that's theater, but it's not the truth. And much of what we believe doesn't come to us necessarily in the form of an advertisement in the newspaper or in Newsweek magazine or on the 6 o'clock news, but it comes from what we call urban legends. You know, we see this on the internet all the time. We have these urban legends. Somebody tells a story, and sometimes they just want to be funny, and so they tell the story. And then we read the story, and, oh, my God, I didn't know that. I didn't know that George Bush was doing that. I remember one time I was at a dinner party years ago now, back in the 1980s, and it was at Larry Flint's mansion. Larry Flint, the pornography guy, you know. And this was cutting-edge technology in 1983, but for the dinner guests there at this dinner, he played a tape of Ronald Reagan and of Jerry Falwell, and a couple, three others that I don't remember, but I remembered Reagan and Falwell. And on this tape, Jerry Falwell is using the F word, and I mean, this guy is swearing like he was a drunken sailor on leave. It was, you know, and I'm a construction worker, and it made me blush. I mean, that's how dirty and filthy these words. And I recognize Jerry Falwell's voice, and I'm listening to Jerry Falwell, and all this filth and perversion is proceeding out of his mouth. And he said, "Now listen to this tape." And so he puts on Ronald Reagan, and Ronald Reagan comes out there, and he's in the role of a communist, and he is espousing communism and how wonderful it is. And you know, Reagan was looked upon as being the anti-communist. If there was ever an anti-communist, it was Ronald Reagan. Here's Ronald Reagan. He's extolling Joe Stalin and telling us how wonderful communism is. And then Flint said, now, these two stories that you've just heard, or these words that you heard from these people, are the actual sounds and actual words, but they have been put through a computer along with this synthesizer that can take their voice and duplicate their voice, and we can produce a tape and make these people say anything we want them to. And I was sitting there saying, now I understand why it is that courts reject audio tapes, because they're manipulatable. They are counterfeitable. They aren't necessarily true. And so we reject them from court. You can't come into court and produce a tape recording because, you know, those can be falsified. All right, so it just goes to show you the breadth of this thing called deception. Now, when you put those tapes or that technology in the hands of the CIA and the FBI and the KGB and the Gestapo and all these various and sundry agencies in various countries around the world, you know, it doesn't take you very long to figure out that, hey, these liars over here can deceive us into believing that somebody said something. And we can do this in history books, you know. We can make quotations from Abraham Lincoln and put it into this book, and if it's in print, we read that and we believe it. Not everything that's in print is necessarily the truth. I mean, you know, when you're reading a book over here telling you about evolution and you read another book over here talking about special creation, you know, one of these guys doesn't quite have it all together. So as we go through life, we're always constantly facing these contradictions. The Democrats tell us one thing and the Republicans tell us another, see, but we really don't know. We don't have enough facts to make the determination that we'd like to make. So we see ads, and one ad says milk is good for you. Another ad over here, or another story somewhere, says this milk is a killer and you ought not to drink it. You know, and here's God says, I'm going to give you a land of milk and honey. Another guy says this milk over here is going to plug up your arteries and give you heart attack. You know, and then you're sitting here in the middle, and you're just a crummy plumber like I am, and you don't know. You can't figure that out. You know, one group, they say coffee's good for you. Another group says coffee's bad for you. One group says McDonald's is good for you. Another group says McDonald's is bad for you. And, I mean, you got this constant choice that you have to make between this or that and this or that. Life is just filled with all these choices. And so we have somebody's lying to us. I mean, this McDonald's is either good for you or it isn't. And either there is a God or there isn't, and you either evolved or you didn't. But, you know, we don't know because we're constantly bombarded with lies. Somebody's lying to us. Somebody's telling us the truth. Somebody's lying to us. Could be that both sides are lying to us. I watch these political ads and I say, my God, they're both lying to me. That's because I subscribed to another publication that told me something that was totally different than both the Republican and the Democrat told me. And so I said, well, if this third guy's telling the truth, then both these Republicans and Democrats are liars. But if this Republican's telling me the truth, then the Democrat and this independent source are lying to me. I mean, somebody's lying to me. I don't know who, but, you know, I can tell that somebody's lying. So I think that all of us can agree that we're being lied to a great deal of the time. We really don't know how much of the time we're being lied to. Is it 100%? No. Can't be 100%, because if it was 100%, we'd know the truth. And we know we've been deceived. I mean, just take a look at this war in Iraq. You know, 3 years ago, everybody was in favor of it. And today, nearly everybody is opposed to it. And so something happened in the last 3 years to change our opinions. And now I saw the other day that 16% of Americans believe the president's story on the 9/11 attack, and 84% of Americans believe it was an inside job. And that's up dramatically because just a few months ago, it was one-third. I saw the number came out. One-third of Americans believed that the 9/11 attacks were an inside job. Today, it's down to 16% that believe that the president told us the truth. No, I'm not here to tell you that I've got the absolute truth. I'm just here to tell you that you've got a choice to make. It's either an inside job and the CIA did it, or it was these terrorists that did it. And, you know, when we started out on this project, this terrorist project, it was the terrorists that did it. But now you've got 84% of Americans now believe it was an inside job. Boy, that's got a lot of ramifications, doesn't it? And let me give you a mid-course reminder here as we're talking about advertising, and let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by pre-arrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. If you'd like to order one, just call the Law School and ask for it. The number is 417 217-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate, and that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are in fact political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may or may not be endorsed in whole or in part by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. I guess I shouldn't say in part, because we wouldn't be recommending them at all if I didn't agree with at least something that they told us. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, however, are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. So for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, remember our website, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. And we're talking about advertising. Advertising is a controlled lie. But advertising can also come in the form of an infomercial. And we have a television channel or two that are dedicated to selling products called infomercials. And information is valuable to us. We like to read an article, for instance, in Newsweek magazine. And Newsweek will publish an article, and maybe they're telling us about the war in Iraq. And that article can influence us. It's an article that you read, or a book that you read, is in reality an advertisement. It's a sales pitch. And the author of the article, the book, the treatise, the piece, is trying to sell you something. He's selling you an idea. Politicians are selling you an idea. They're selling you a belief. Now, some people believe that Noah's flood was local, and some people believe that Noah's flood was worldwide. Now, you don't have to be real smart to figure out that it could not have been both local and worldwide. Now, you've heard that there are whores and there are virgins. But there are some people who believe in virgin whores. Now, boys and girls, you can be a virgin or you can be a whore, but you cannot be a virgin whore, because those two concepts are the antithesis of one another. So there is truth out there. There are girls that are virgins. There might even be one or two boys that are virgins. And there are some boys and girls who are whores or sexually licentious, and that's to distinguish them, you know, from people that are married. I mean, you could have people that aren't virgins that are married, but they're not necessarily whores. But you can't have the both together. You can have one or the other, but you can't have both together. And advertising is a system whereby we're trying to sell one concept or another. And so one of the great ways to deceive people is to put out a lot of propaganda. And this propaganda, this information, is aimed at convincing you or delivering information or facts, figures, and numbers to you that espouse a particular idea, such as the local flood. Another guy writes a book, and he's a scientist also, and he's got a lot of credentials and letters after his name, and he writes a book, and he cites a lot of names and dates and times and facts and figures and so on, and he presents this in such a way as to convince you that the flood was worldwide. Now, both of these people who wrote these two books are scientists with letters after their names, and they're not just crummy plumbers like me. I mean, these people are somebody. They've been to university, you know. They've studied hydrology, or maybe they've studied geology or paleontology or something along that order. These are people who know something. Now, these two guys never sit down in a room and talk to one another and then say, listen, we both can't be right here. One of us is wrong. Why don't we put our facts and figures together and let's see if we can arrive at a consensus? You know, maybe we can agree on some of these facts. And now, they never do that. And so one side pushes its agenda, the other side pushes its agenda, and you and I are sitting here in the middle. And this is the essence of deception. Now, you might choose one over the other, and you may actually choose the correct side, but you don't know that. You don't know that. And you don't know it because you're just picking one side or the other. You don't really have any real knowledge one way or the other. And after all, were you there? Did you see this event transpire? Do you know of anybody who was there and saw this event transpire? So, in essence, both sides would readily admit, no, we weren't there. And no, we don't know of anybody that was there. And so, therefore, we have to take the evidence. Okay, so now we're going to look at evidence. Well, what is evidence? Now, we go to the law books and we have a definition for evidence. It's something that persuades you. It's something that you see, you hear, you taste, touch, or smell that persuades you, convinces you, makes you believe one thing or another. It may or may not be true. It may or may not have actually happened that way. But it's the best guess that we can come up with. And after all, that's what it really boils down to. Well, it's my guess. My guess is the flood was local. No, my guess is the flood was worldwide. See? My guess is the war in Iraq is, or my guess is the war in Iraq isn't. You know, we really don't know. When was the last time you made an on-site inspection of Iraq? When was the last time you went over and toured Baghdad? When was the last time you sat down and had a conversation with the president or the head of the CIA or the FBI? I think for most of us, we'd say, well, we never have. Okay, well, then that's how much you know about it, isn't it? So all you know about the war in Iraq is what you heard on the CBS Evening News, and that's what we call in law hearsay. Hearsay. And furthermore, depending upon whether you're a war hawk or whether you're a war dove, when these reporters are writing their stories, one is a hawk, and he's explaining to you how we must stay the course, and the other's a dove, who is explaining to you how this war has gone astray and it's on the wrong track and we need to do something different. You know, now you can take your choice as to what you want to believe, but the truth of the matter is, you and I have never been to Iraq. We don't know what we're talking about. And we're going to make a choice based upon lies, based upon insufficient facts. And then we're going to vote. Which is another reason why I'm not fully persuaded that democracy is all it's been talked up to be. You got a lot of people that don't know, believe lies, and are going to go out and vote and make decisions. And I'm not really sure that that's the basis for making those kind of decisions. So I'll leave it up to you people. You go out and vote, and you go and elect somebody and send them over there to solve that Iraq war problem over there. Meanwhile, I'll sit back here on the farm and say, well, I'm not really sure that I know the answer to that. Now, the president, he's fully persuaded that he's got the answer to it. And he's advertising. He's out here on the stump. He's out here on the news every night talking to us on the evening news, and he's telling us a story. And then we've got some other guy over here. He's telling us a different story. And that's the essence of deception. The essence of deception. And the more stories that you can tell, the more sides or the more facets that you can put in here, the more deception, the more confusing the issue becomes. I mean, you can have 3, 4, 5, 6 different versions of an event, and nobody knows what the hell to believe. And that's oftentimes what we see in this thing called advertising. And after all, that's why people buy Fords and Chevrolets and Hondas and various automobiles is because they believe that their cars. You ever heard somebody, you know, they're talking about their car. They're a Ford man, and this guy, he's telling me about Fords and how wonderful these Fords are and how great these, you know, if there was anything, you know, anything better than a Ford hasn't been invented yet, and Ford's getting around to it. And then you got this Chevrolet guy, you know, he's wearing cowboy boots and a big tall hat, and you know, and he's telling you about how Ford tough, ain't it? Or I think it's something like that. Or how this Chevrolet is better than that Ford over there. Then along comes some other guy, you know, with a GMC, and another guy with a Dodge, and another guy over here with a Toyota. And they're all telling you about how great their cars are. I've got a car out here. It's got four wheels, a motor, a transmission. You get in it, start it up, and drives down the road. I don't know if mine's any better than yours or not. Better in what way? It gets better fuel mileage. Okay. But when you load it up, does it haul more? Does it have more flat tires? Transmission go out more often? I don't know. Now, of course, for all these products to be sold, we have to convince a lot of people that these products are better than somebody else's product. That their ideas are better than other people's ideas, but they're all predicated upon controlled lies. And so we make our choices based upon lies. We make our choices concerning who we vote for based upon lies. And we make our choice as to who we believe when we go to church based upon lies. All these preachers out here, there's 476, last time I saw this number, there's 476 incorporated religious organizations in the United States. Every one of them tells a little different story about the same book called the Bible. These are the Christians. We'll leave out all the rest of the religious guys. It's just the Christians, 476 of them. And they don't agree among themselves. If any two of them agreed, they could merge. Hell, we got more agreement in the automobile field than we have in religion. Automobile companies are merging all the time, you know. Banks are merging all the time. They're all agreed on economics, but not religious people. They're not agreed at all. In fact, there's probably more than 476 now. Some more disagreements. And you don't have to be real smart to figure out that if any one of these guys has the truth over here, the rest of them are lying to us. Now, I went to church one time, twice as a matter of fact, and Mrs. Ray, the Sunday school teacher, both of those events that I went to were presided over by Mrs. Ray. Nice lady, wonderful lady, I loved her. Very, very friendly, outgoing lady, taught Sunday school. And Mrs. Ray lied to me twice. I didn't know it at the time. I was only 11 years old, but, you know, later on I found out that what she told me about those two stories in the Bible were false. I think she, honest to God, believed the lies that she was telling us. I don't think she lied to us on purpose. I was lied to by another lady one time. I went down to get my Social Security number. I was 11 years old again. I was really lied to and deceived when I was 11. Mrs. Ray got to me twice, and the lady down at the post office and the Social Security Administration, she lied to me too. And I'm sure she was a nice lady, and I'm sure that she had grandchildren, and I'm sure that she had a husband and a family and children and a house and a dog to feed and a lawn to mow, just like all the rest of us, but she was a liar. She lied to me. And I found out about that later on. You ever do that? You find out years later, you know, that you've been lied to? Sure. Every one of you that changed from Catholicism to Protestantism came to the conclusion that the Catholics were lying to you. And every one of you Protestants that converted from Protestantism to Catholicism or something else came to a conclusion that these guys were lying to you. Every one of you who voted for George Bush and now hold him in low esteem have been lied to. At least you believe you have. Know how you feel when you find out that you've been lied to, made a fool of? Makes you feel real bad, doesn't it? You don't like that. Do you think that those times when you discovered that you'd been lied to are the only times you've been lied to, or are there some times when somebody lied to you and you haven't figured it out yet? I mean, you're still sitting here believing those same lies. Would you really like to know the truth? Now, have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, gee, my name is George Gordon and I'm here selling lies. Gather around. I don't want to tell you the truth. I want to deceive you. I want to lie to you. I want to make you believe something that's totally false. I never have run across a guy like that. Everybody that comes to me tells me that they're telling the truth. You ever notice that? Everybody. Hey, you can believe me, I'm telling the truth. Have you ever asked anybody, are you a liar? Let me ask you. You're listening to me right now. Are you a liar? I was asked that one time in court. This judge, his name was Grant, and he said, Mr. Gordon, raise your right hand and repeat after me. And I said to the judge, I said, now, would it be all right if I raised my left foot, cocked my head to the right, and didn't repeat anything? He thought that was contemptuous. Sent me to jail for 5 days. I spent 5 days in the slammer asking a judge if I could cock my head to the right and raise my left foot instead. He didn't think that was very funny. It's called the oath issue case, Gordon versus Idaho. Well, anyway, it got down to where the rubber was meeting the road over there, and the judge said to me, he said, no, Mr. Gordon, now you've been to jail already twice now on this. He said, I guess I ought to ask you, how come you're not taking the oath over? And I said, because I'm a pathological liar. And the judge was kind of taken back. He asked me again, he said, what did you say? I said, the reason I can't take the oath, judge, is because I'm a pathological liar. I don't know about the rest of you people out there, but that was my conclusion. Now, of course, all you people out there, you all tell the truth, and you're all honest people, but I just wanted to let you know. Now you've run across the first guy you ever met in your life, that ever came up to you and said, no, don't believe me, I'm a liar. I got that out of the Bible. Did you know that the scripture says, let God be true, though every man be found a liar? Now, I don't know if that's true or false, because I've never met a man yet that ever walked up and said, well, I'm a liar. And that statement in the scripture is probably true. Now, I don't know this God guy very well. I mean, I've never met him one-on-one, never sat down and had a beer with him, you know, and ate some potato chips down at the Blue Room. But, you know, I've read a little bit about him, you know, in the scripture. Judge Smith caught me in the hall one day and he said, Gordon, you shot yourself in the foot. You got it on the record. You're a pathological liar. You'll never be able to testify in court again. I said, well, Judge, let me ask you this. Has it ever occurred to you that some of the people that come in here, raise their right hands and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, are liars? Have you ever observed that? And he said, oh, God, yeah, most of them. In fact, now that you bring up the subject, yeah, most of the witnesses that come into court and get on the witness stand swear to tell the truth and then proceed to lie. Sometimes they lie and they actually believe what they're telling is the truth. So I said to the judge, I said, well, Judge, let me ask you, being a judge and all and telling the truth and all, I said, have you ever lied just one time in your life? And he said, yeah, I've lied once in my life. Past tense. I said, Judge, has it ever occurred to you that maybe sometime in the future, under great stress and duress, of course, but at some time in the future, you might lie one more time before you die? He said, yes, it's occurred to me, and I probably will lie one more time. I said, Judge, have you lied recently, such as you told your wife that meatloaf was really tasty, when it was really very bad meatloaf? And he said, yes, I have lied recently. I said, okay, now, Judge, you admit out of your own mouth that you're a liar past, present, and future. Would you say that's pathological? Judge Smith, 1983. And he said, I see your point. I said, I'm afflicted with the same disease. I've lied in the past, I've lied recently, and I expect to lie again in the future sometime. So I have to conclude that George Gordon is a liar. But when I ask this question with audiences, you know, I look out over the audience and I say, how many of you people out there are liars? Everybody looks at you like you're stupid. Then I say, well, How many of you people out there have ever told a lie at least one time in your life? You know, maybe it was over an ice cream cone or something, you know, when you're 6 years old. And, you know, and everybody will raise their hand. Well, yeah, we lied once. And I said, well, how many of you people out there expect that before you die, you might lie one more time? And everybody will raise their hands and they'll, you know, yeah. Now, the third question gets a little bit trickier. You ask them, well, have you told any lies recently? Most people they kind of fumble around. They look down. They don't want to look in the eyeball. But when you start asking some questions, well, now, have you told your wife lately that she really looks good? Yeah. Did you really believe that when you said that, since she put on 10 or 15 pounds? Did you recently tell her how good dinner was, when really it was a piece of trash and you didn't like it at all, but you didn't want to hurt her feelings? Or when did you tell somebody, you know, they're really looking good, when you looked at them and you saw that they were really looking poor? I mean, you know, normally you don't walk up to people and say, Jesus, Bob, you're really looking bad. Or, you know, are you eating all right? What happened to you? Or, Jesus, Mabel, you know, you put on 15 pounds, you're starting to look a little flabby. God, what happened to dinner tonight? You know, normally you do a pretty good job of cooking, but this is really a piece of garbage. I mean, you know, normal people don't do that, and so we lie. These are called little white lies, and we want to make people feel good, but, you know, it's not true. Dinner was bad, and you're putting on a little weight. And old John over here looks like hell. I mean, that's where reality's at. That's what the truth is really all about. If the president told us the truth about what was going on over in Iraq, he'd say, geez, that war's really turned into a piece of crap, hasn't it? We had high hopes when we were over there. We made some bad decisions over there. Here's about three or four of our bad decisions. We're trying to recover from that. I'd have a whole lot more respect for the guy, you know, if he said, you know, I think we screwed up. Anybody in the year 2006, at least in October of 2006, that can't look at Iraq from the American perspective and say, that's a can of worms over there. He's got his head right square up the center of his hind end, doesn't he? I mean, that war over there is going about like the Third Reich's conquering the world about May 1st, 1945. I mean, this thing ain't going very good at all. The president, I saw him the other day, says, well, we got to stick the course. And stay the course. Well, okay. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But I thought in this first program we'd take a look at this thing of vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear, and the fact that George Gordon, your honorable host here, is a liar. And is that the truth? Am I telling you the truth when I say that George Gordon is a pathological liar? Mull that one over until we come back again. And then, let me throw out a real wild statement and tell you that 25% of everything that comes out of your mouth is false. That's right, Charlie. That's right, Jane. 25%. And next time I'm going to show you that. I'll show you from scientific experimentation that when the average person tells a story, when he wants to tell the truth and he's doing everything in his power to tell the exact truth, 25% of it's false. And that's when you want to tell the truth. Next time on the Law Hour, an editorial review. So let me remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement, and the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. Got to leave it right there. See you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.